This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Time to talk some Colorado Buffaloes with our guy, Brian Howell, our Buffs insider with Buff Zone. Brian, tough matchup coming up for the Buffs as they look to take on TCU. Fairly significant dogs in this one. Last week was interesting, though. First, Brian, we'll go back there. The Buffs start out the gates just red hot against BYU and kind of slowed down, but still had an opportunity to try to go down, tie, or win this game late. Just maybe felt like ran out of gas in that game last week.
Yeah, you know, and it hurts so much because of what you have coming up this week and the two games after this. I mean, it's a really tough stretch starting this week, and you felt like you left one. If you're the Buffs, you feel like you left one get away on Saturday night at Folsom Field, and they really did. I mean, they had that game several different times if they just would have made some plays, and they didn't make them.
What did you make of the final sequence there? Caden Salter ultimately throws an interception, but there was part of my brain that's looking. We've talked a lot about timeouts and Coach Prime a lot this year. I was kind of thinking, you know, now would be a good time to call a timeout, and they don't. And quickly after that, Salter throws the interception.
Yeah, you know, obviously you can question some of those things, and I think that's valid. I also think that there were so many other execution things earlier in that game that they missed on that I'm not sure even if you call a timeout, is the offense going to execute well enough for you to get down there and score? You know, I think they just didn't do enough in the last three quarters. I mean, you mentioned the 14-0 lead, and that was fun to watch, and they were doing some unique things and all that. And after that, they get 7 points all game. So I'm not even sure they would have scored if they would have done that. I think their opportunities were lost earlier in the game.
Caden Salter is just interesting to me, though, Brian. Like, I really like watching him play. I like watching running quarterbacks, though, so maybe I'm a little biased there. But then when you look throughout the body of work, there's just a lot of bad plays, a lot of major negative plays that he takes, big-time sacks. I mean, is this guy, he seems like he has the tools, but just not everything's firing on all cylinders at this point with this dude.
Yeah, honestly, there was a two-play sequence early in the fourth quarter that was kind of the epitome of him. And it was, if you remember, they had third and one, and he takes off for a 45-yard run. And it winds up getting called back because there's a holding penalty. But he made the play. You know, it was a fantastic run by him. And now it's third and three, and he gets sacked for a 22-yard loss on the next play. That's him. He'll make a big play, and then he does something. You're like, what are you doing? You know, and he does have all the tools. And he was so fun to watch against Wyoming, and he was so fun to watch in the first quarter against BYU. And then he'll do things you're like, I don't really know what to do here with this guy. So he can be frustrating at times, but I think all the tools are there if you can put it together.
What did you think of kind of his comments about, you know, the benching earlier in the season kind of messed with me? Did you like that? I mean, Coach Prime's talking a lot about leadership, specifically with his quarterback. And then you hear something kind of like that was maybe tough to take.
Yeah, I don't think you should like hearing that from your starting quarterback. And frankly, that's why he was benched. You know, he's a little more fragile mentally than, you know, certainly what Coach Prime's had throughout his entire coaching career. Keep in mind, he's had Shador Sanders as his quarterback his entire coaching life. And Shador's supremely confident, and nothing rattles Shador Sanders. And then it doesn't take a lot, apparently, to rattle Caden Salter. And so I think it's just very different. I think Coach Prime has had a hard time adjusting to how different the mental part is in his quarterbacks from last year to this year.
Those were things we even talked about, you know, in the offseason, was that would be an adjustment for Coach Prime. Neither negative nor positive, but this was going to be a big change because he started his coaching career with his guys, with Shador Sanders. So it's a big change because, you know, with his son, he knows him better than most, maybe better than anybody, and he's able to motivate, press the right buttons. Does he even need to when he got into college? You know, whatever. But doing that with someone that's not your son, and the quarterback is that piece, you know, between your brain and what's actually being put out on the field. That is a difficult adjustment when you've done it one way for so long.
Yeah, and frankly, there's probably not a lot of buttons he's had to push in the last few years because he knew that Shador didn't need to be pushed, right? And so now all of a sudden he's having to push his quarterback along, like, let's go. Go lead this team, please. You know, and I think that's new for him and probably hard for him. And I'm trying to find it as we're talking here. But I asked him a question this week about, this is Coach Prime, about, you know, what have you learned about yourself? And he said, here we go. He says, don't expect what you give. Sometimes you got to look at things and say, it is what it is, and turn the page and let's go to the next chapter. And so It's an interesting comment because, you know, I'm listening to that and thinking, at this point, he's just saying, hey, this is what it is with the Caden Salter. We'll just do what we can to get through the rest of the season, then you go on to the next chapter. That's the way I viewed it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not what he meant, but that's how I viewed it. He's like, look, it is what it is. And he's not just talking about Caden Salter. I mean, there's not a lot of leadership on this team. And you think just beyond Shador Sanders, how many incredible leaders were on this team last year that are not here? I think that's hard for the staff, that they're not having the leadership step up.
Yeah, it's tough. It's difficult because it was such a different feel last year. There was a swagger, there was a confidence, and you just don't really have that this time around. And I agree. You know, those comments are kind of fascinating. Just this is who we got. Enough of the quarterback carousel. Let's just stay with Salter and see what happens. But you got a tough opponent coming up against TCU, Brian. This is going to be. If the Buffs are going to win this thing, it's going to take a battle and really smart quarterback play, because TCU's got one of those guys that's playing pretty darn good in Josh Hoover.
Yeah, I mean, the Buffs have got to play their best game of the year, and that's probably an easy thing to say and an obvious thing to say, but they really do. I mean, Caden Salter, he needs to look like he did against Wyoming, but it's going to be tougher against TCU, and the cornerbacks have not been good this year. They've got to step up because Josh Hoover is one of the best passing quarterbacks in the country. And so those corners that have been, I don't want to say torched, but I mean, they've given up some big plays and they've given up a lot of penalties. They've got to be on point this week. And so there's a lot of areas of this team that are going to be tested. And the hard thing is, I don't know if you've seen the injury report. It seems like, it is a quarter of the roster basically is on the injury report. So it's a tough one this week.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the last I looked, TCU's favored, Brian, by 13.5. Do you see the Buffs doing something crazy? Do you see them staying relatively close in this game, maybe leaving it to a final drive or something along those lines?
I think that this team is extremely capable of going down to Fort Worth and winning the football game this week. But I don't think they will. And I for a lot of the things we've talked about, I think TCU is going to take advantage of being home, take advantage of some of the fragility of the Buffs right now, and I think they win this thing. And I think that spread is pretty close. I have TCU winning by a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, and then that's tough, too, because, like you said, the BYU game was so big because of what's next. Well, this game's big because of what's next also. Iowa State, Utah, it just doesn't get any easier in this conference.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, they're legitimately staring at a potential four-game losing streak, which puts you at 2-6 going into November. And at that point, who knows? I mean, I'm getting ahead of ourselves right here. But at that point, if you're 2-6 and you only got four games left, do you say, you know what, Julian Lewis, this is your team?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a conversation you and I can have when we see what these three games look like. But I think that's where they're at right now. That's why this is such a big one, if they can go down there and win it. I think that's why last week was such a big missed opportunity, because those chances of getting enough wins to get to a bowl game, they're kind of going away.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how fast the season goes, but we're down to it. You know, you've got big opportunities here, and if you can't find a way this weekend, it, like we said, it's not getting any easier for this Buffs team. But Brian, don't you know, we talked about this, like the expectations. If you're being logical, knowing the guys CU lost, and we're not just talking about the Sanders kids and Travis Hunter, you lost a bunch of dudes. If you were being logical in the offseason, you would look at this and go, yeah, maybe it's a bowl team. You know, that's kind of where I'm setting my expectations. I hope I'm surprised. But for those that were thinking truly that the Buffs are going to be in a Big 12 championship game this year, I mean, yeah, you're going to be let down big time.
Yeah, I mean, those people were delusional. I shouldn't say that because Coach Prime was one.
you got to say that, right?
Yeah, I know. And he said a lot. You know, we're a better team than we were last year, and I just never saw it. They're deeper. They are a deeper team than they've been the last 2 years. They're a much better offensive line. And holy cow, could you imagine Shugler Sanders with this protection
that
Caden Salter's getting? Honestly, if you had the same roster – but you added two really good leaders on each side of the ball from last year, this team would be 4-1, if not 5-0 right now.
I think about that too. With this much improved offensive line, Shador's numbers could have been even greater, you know, if he would have had that. You said it, Brian. Coach Prime's talking a lot. Shador Sanders not talking so much these days. I'm sure you saw that.
I thought about doing that with this. I'm like, you know, that's not going to play so well on radio.
Yeah, it's difficult to do that, but I don't know. I had some energy on it the other day, but now I'm kind of moving on.
Yeah, I've always been very, very supportive of Shador Sanders, and I still am. But did a podcast with a friend this week, and I said, you know what, I thought that was kind of childish, and that's. There's sometimes that even with your own kids, you're like, you know what, I can't defend you on this one, kid.
Yeah.
And that one is like, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Be better than that. And I think he has been, and that's what's disappointing for me, is that he's been very mature throughout this whole process, where he came in after the disappointment of the draft saying, look, I'm just here to work and get better. He said that all along. And then you do something like this, it's like, nationally and publicly, that's a couple steps back, if not multiple steps back,
I'm with you. And I've been back and forth. There's been things I'm like, yeah, I really like that from Shador Sanders. I like how he handled this. And you see the clips of him showing up way before practice with Cleveland, and he's doing his thing, and I love that kind of stuff. And then you get these kind of deals, and you're like, oh, just do the obvious thing here, man. Don't do that. Don't mime it. Give the coach speak or the quarterback speak. If you're frustrated with Rex Ryan's comments or whatever, you want to see those kind of guys rise above it, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, for sure. And frankly, maybe even the sports info or whatever they call it, the communication staff, the Browns should have been like, you know what, you guys don't need to talk to our third string quarterback.
Yeah, true. Don't let's just not even set it up. I thought it was odd. Yeah. Anyway, because we don't hear from any other third string quarterback on a regular basis,
right? And I understand he's different, but maybe there's some weeks you just say, you know what, Shador, just hang in the training room until the locker room closes.
Yeah, you might not be a bad idea. Brian, always appreciate your insight, my friend. I know you got pregame stuff for us. You're cooking up as we get set for CU-TCU this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a good one. And like I said, they must have a shot. I think they're talented enough to go down there, but we'll see. It's a big one for them.
It's a huge game, no question. Survive this game and we'll see. Brian Howell, Buff Zone, appreciate you, my man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Mike, you got 7 games remaining. And I know it seems like a lot, but we've already seen a lot from this Buffs team. You've seen 5 games from them. They lost to Georgia Tech. They did beat Delaware, but that was a weird game. They lost to Houston. They beat Wyoming. Kind of strange stuff there. BYU, they storm out of the gates and then they slow down. This is a tough spot. You're 0-2 in the conference. You're probably already, I'm not saying mathematically out, but it feels like it. You got to go on a massive run. And I just don't know if this team has the dogs. 12:49 the time. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. Michael, let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number 2. We got the quarterback toilet bowl coming up in the final hour of the show. It is a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse.
From preps to college to the pros, We have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.